Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Hey guys, a little fanfare before the call, but this is our Probate Mastery weekly coaching call. We get together every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Unless you get on early and Bruce Hill happens to be there, then I guess you start a little early. A kind of fun fact, but for those who are on today. This call is related to the probatemastery.com website. And if you go there, probatemastery.com, you can choose for some free courses to get started. And I always tell people, start with the free stuff. And then if you get certified, you can click on here and get the details on that. And then with various course bundles, I've paid for the certification. I've paid for some of the course bundles. I think they're great. And then additionally, a Facebook community, continue the conversation at Estate Professional Mastermind. And there we'll promote our programs as well as a place to continue the conversation. My name is Bill Gross, and I host separately probateweekly.com, which is a weekly interview-based program. Probateweekly.com bring you here, sign up, and we'll get you the details, and you can see the past episodes, audio format, or YouTube if you like. And then I also have a Facebook group, Probate Weekly, where we have 3,700 members, continue the conversation. Feel free to post your probate-related content there, and love to have you continue the conversation. I'm a real estate broker based in Los Angeles, California. I have a team of 45 agents across the country. But I list and sell property. Literally took a listing yesterday in Riverside, California. So my basic business is using the principles that I learned in this program in listing property on behalf of families and attorneys. And the purpose of this call is to help share best practices and work through challenges and share victories and such. So thank you for joining us today. It's meant to be participative. You can raise your hand. You can put a note in the chat box, and I'll try to catch you there as well. Let's get started. I see a couple questions already in the chat box. I'll start with those. One is from Mina. How can you do anything with a property if there was not an executor appointed yet? Mina, what if you want to unmute yourself, I'll bring you in. Or if not, what state do you sell real estate in?
Because that's going to help. Hey, Bill, we talked a while back.
Yes.
I wanted to call you and connect with you again. I was with Keller Williams. The guy that was on before was talking about doing things and offering money to the beneficiaries so they avoid probate. But I think it must have been another state.
Well, I believe he said he's in North Carolina. But there are some options that apply in California or any state that you can do before somebody's appointed. One of the things is certainly they can get advanced funds. Probate advance is an option. So if they need cash to get the attorney or file the probate or publication, advertising, securing the property, there's ways they can borrow money ahead of time before they're even appointed. And so that's where I feel as an agent, I've tried to distinguish myself by creating value for the family before they've listed the property with me. Yes, I may have a contract with them that's enforceable, but if I create enough value for them, obviously they're going to expect me to continue that process once I'm listed with them.
So the question, so if they don't have rights to the property, not being appointed by the court, who's going to lend the money against the property?
Well, I do a whole class on that. I at the risk of doing an hour now, I'll say there are investors, I'm one of them, who based on certain criteria will not lend money to the probate estate, but will advance the heir some of their beneficial interest in the estate.
I see.
So if somebody passes and you know that you're going to collect, you're one of two children and there's a house that's worth $500,000, theoretically you're going to collect $250,000 minus expenses. I can underwrite that case to say, okay, you have $250,000 minus legal fees, minus this,
right,
minus real estate selling fees, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I can advance you $10,000-$20,000, and in California notify the court so that when it comes time to distribute your heirship, theoretically the court will approve distributing the money to me first that you owe back off the top. So that's an advance on the heirship. I have a program, Probate Cash, getprobate.cash is the website where I go into that in more detail. And also in the Facebook about the Get Probate Cash Facebook group that talks about that in more detail. So that's one option. And if people actually buy the property that way, they'll just say to the person, you know, whatever you're entitled to the property, I'll pay you X amount of dollars and you sign it over to me. It's a little more complicated than that. And, you know, obviously a judge can overrule that or invalidate that.
Right, because they don't know who the executor is yet. So how
well,
that
but
one
you're
person?
Not, so again, you're not contracting with the estate, you're contracting with an heir. And if that person is selling their rights, not the probate or the estate's rights, but they're representing themselves. I'm entitled to receive money on this estate.
Oh, I see. So they sell off their share to someone who gave them money. Correct. Now that person steps into their shoes.
Correct.
And they won't get in trouble by the courts?
Well, I would say that that relationship is subject to court approval. And so as long as it's disclosed properly and it's done fairly and the pricing is reasonable, I've not seen judges invalidate that. But I do know there are cases where it's been abused and judges have invalidated
it.
So I would say as long as it's reasonable and for the benefit of the beneficiary, meaning they need the money to hire an attorney, maybe put a fence around the property, evict tenants, whatever, to protect before they got maybe
for a purpose, right?
Correct. Then I think you make the funeral costs to get the decedent, you know, buried. You may not be appointed yet, but you need the money right away to get them out of the mortuary or whatever it is. So again, as long as you make the case that it's reasonable, are the people abuse it? Yes. Are the people who, as a
because
result of
the
that,
attorneys, probably there'll be an attorney involved in the probate, the filing of the probate, right?
Should be. Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Right.
So it's people do per se.
Well, yeah. I mean, so then the probate won't like this because it may cut into their money if that's the only asset is the house, right?
Yeah, but you're not going to cut it that tight. You're not going to do a 9% loan to value probate advance. It's going to be well below 50%. So there should be plenty of money for everybody. And if the money is being used to expedite the filing process, the attorney would like it. And in fact, in many cases, the money is used to pay the retainer to get the law, to get the petition filed. So in that sense, I end up doing this with the attorneys, you know, knowing about it and usually with the attorney's approval because it helps, again, it helps expedite the matter, not
over. Right.
The last thing I say, Mina, remind me, you're in California, right?
Yeah. I'm in California. We spoke like a year and a half ago.
I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, so don't, please forgive me. But the other thing is, if you took the probate certification course by the California Association of Realtors that was taught by Paul Horn in that class, he's an attorney. He states that you can actually list the property and actually put it under contract as long as you disclose to all parties that the contract is not binding. Well, why would you do that? Well, when they file the probate, they may not get their first hearing for 30 days.
Yeah.
It might take you 30 days to get the property sold, but if the clients want to list it with you and you trust them, then at least you get the ball rolling. And so maybe day 30, you get approval the state, and now you're already under contract.
Right, but who signs the listing agreement, right? Who's the head honcho? It could be four people wanting to be the executor.
Well, you're right. Well, you wouldn't do that if there's four people filing to be the executor. But if there's
it's
only
probably
one,
an only child thing.
Right, or the other ones all agree, and you're filing a petition where all three are in agreement to appoint that person, what I call uncontested, then there's a case where you might consider doing that to help expedite things on behalf of the state.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Now, that's subject to your broker's approval as well. So I'm in my case, my broker would allow that. I do know there's some brokers who won't allow that. So make sure whoever you are, you run it through your broker as well.
Yeah, I'm over at Harcourts. We do auctions, luxury non-distressed auctions, which is good for the expensive ones.
Yeah, I don't know if they would allow you to do a listing where it's not approved yet or not. My guess is not, but I don't know them, so I really wouldn't want to.
I mean, they would leave it up to me because I don't know much about this. So
there you go. One of those things where if you ask, they're always going to say no, but if you don't ask, you're okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Mina, thanks so much. Nice seeing you.
Nice seeing you.
Okay. And so next question is already in the chat box. I've been two different probates where the sellers have been contacted by buyers trying to buy the home without completing the probate process. So Roger, what state is that happening in for you? You want to unmute?
Are you Roger DeRusio or the other Roger?
Roger DeRusio. You said you have two probates where the seller has been contacted by buyers trying to buy the home without completing the probate process. What state
is that happening? That's right here in California in the Bay Area. I'm going through a re-education of the sellers who thought one of them accepted a contract and it's unworkable. The attorney that was handling, was trying to sign that probate is in an uproar. He's worried about his license being involved in an illegal probate. And the seller was looking for fast money and thought that because, he was the heir apparent that he could sell the property. Crazy.
Right. Well, to buy the home without completing the process, you can get it under contract. And as we talked about, you can buy the interest of the heir, but it's complicated. And one of the challenges is you can't get title insurance until you go through probate because you can't change the deed from one party to another and have it insured. So you can buy the beneficial interest, but the people who do that make sure they incentivize the who would be the executor administrator to complete the probate because you do have to go through the court process to change title. Otherwise, you're stuck. Now, I guess it's possible that somebody would sell you interest and then you just rent the property if you get it cheap enough and all you care about is the income or the use of the property. But if you want to transfer ownership, at some point, there's no way avoiding going through probate to transfer title if it's of sufficient price and value.
Good point about title insurance.
People forget that one. Another one is, this is a classic case where attorneys will say, oh, we don't need a notice of proposed action. And I'll say, well, good news, bad news. Good news is you're right legally. Bad news is the title company won't insure title without doing one. Now, are there title companies that will do one in cases where one should not be required? Yes. Most title companies still want you to do the notice anyhow in California. This is a California only rule. And so you can have an attorney who's right, but you just can't close escrow. So they can be right all they want. But
I think they can waive it. The beneficiaries can waive the notice of proposed action if they want, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, when you send them a proposed action, they can agree or they cannot respond. And after 15 days, you can transfer title. But most, at some point, most title companies would require all beneficiaries to either sign the waiver and agree or wait 15 days. They're not going to just say you don't have to file one. And that's, and their attorneys will say, well, it's not required because my, you know, my client is the sole heir. Okay, that you know, and they might be right, but especially if they pick the title company, that title company has to agree with them, right? And some title companies, even when there's only one heir, still want the notice filed just in case there's a creditor lurking or a family member lurking, and they want that to protect their interest. And if they pick the title company, now personally, I could change title companies and take it to one that will resolve the problem. But again, sometimes the attorneys, you know, can be legally right, but you can't close escrow. Okay, and then on the same subject, Wayne points out affidavit of heirship in Texas can work in lieu of probate. Yes, that's that. There are different states that don't require probate. In California, you're going to need it anytime unless the deed accomplishes it. And even you can avoid a quote full probate if it passes from husband to wife, who's not on title. But to do that, you have to file a petition, a spousal petition, which is kind of like filing a probate. I mean, at the end of the day, your hearing date's 6 months instead of 30 days. And by the time you're done paying the attorney, it's about the same as a probate. So in California, again, you can oftentimes change without probate, but you end up in the same spot. And I think we talked before about trust, for example. In California, if the property is deeded out of the trust, yes, there's a process to deed it back in the trust and avoid probate, but that petition called the Hegstead petition gets 6 months to the first hearing date and costs as much about and takes about as long as a probate anyhow. So minimum of title, yes. So different states have different procedures that make this process much simpler, particularly for spouses or family members. And in California, even the dollar amount, if it's below a certain dollar amount, then the process is more of an affidavit-like as well. So yeah, probate life process, Wayne, I think you're correct. Okay, good. Other questions, challenges, comments, victories? anybody. Lisa Young holding your child, your grandchild. Who is that you're holding on to there? There you
go. This is my grandbaby.
Oh, what's his name?
This is Bennett.
Bennett. Hey, Bennett. I have a grandson who's about the same age. His name is Benjamin. I call him Benny.
So,
hey, Bennett. Well, there you are. Your first probate call, Bennett.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay, you stole the show here. I'm very jealous. I'm gonna have to take you off the spotlight. All right, very nice. Okay. Other questions, comments, victories, losses.
Hi, Bill. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Who's that?
I'll wait. Go ahead.
Lisa, go ahead.
Okay. So I got into probate mastery in October, and then life happened, and it's like day one for me today. Mm-hmm. And so would you recommend going back through like the fundamentals and just starting that whole process over again?
Well,
for the mastery?
So I would say, how much did you learn and how much can you put into practice?
Well, I went through the course, and then I was getting ready to start, and I went out and met with some attorneys and title people and things like that. And then my husband and I are getting divorced, and it just shook everything up and put on the brakes. So I haven't really practiced anything until I got moved. I just moved and am in a new home and away from him. So now it's like I need to put the gas pedal down and start moving and getting stuff going because I'm really short on funds. So what's the best approach here?
Yeah, I do think education learning is always good, but
hey. Long time no see. Once again.
I try to keep that time out of my 9 to 5, what I call prime time work time. So I try to do classes and watch them on demand, you know, maybe at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, maybe while having dinner or in the morning before I start my work day, because I make money by talking to people. And so it's hard if you have to really ramp things up, it's hard to do that and take out, you know, 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the day, 2 or 3 days in a row. Even when I took probate mastery originally, it was on demand. I did all after hours. And I was going to court during the day because I was anxious to get started. So, you know, I always say make sure you have a list of what you get paid and what generates revenue and do that. That's your priority. Work everything else around that. And then what business generation activities are you going to do? Those are your priority. In my case, I was going to court every morning. And so I didn't want anything that was going to interrupt that. To this day, my schedule is business development in the morning before 12 o'clock. I don't really do anything other than that. Usually avoid meetings and avoid, you know, going out of the office because it's just not, you know, I want to be productive. If I'm going to work, I need to be productive. So I'll not answer more for you personally other than that. I would just say, in general, when you take a class like this, you should end up with an action plan and get into action, whatever that means for you, whether it be calling or door knocking or driving or going to court or whatever you're going to do, social media. You need to get into action to join the business.
Perfect. Thank you. I think what I'll start doing is going to the courts because I have 3 counties I can go to. One's on Monday, one's on Wednesday, and then the other one, I think, is Tuesday. So I want to show up there and then start my YouTube videos and do the videos for the like a probate channel. So I want to start that.
Counties do you work in Nevada?
Washoe County, Lyon, and Churchill. I live in Fernley, which is just outside of Reno.
Nice.
And then I can hit Reno because it's only 30 minutes away. And then Lyon County encompasses a pretty large spot, and Churchill is like 20 minutes away. So there's 3 counties. Yeah.
You know, I think not only do I think you have 3 counties, but you also have 3 semi-rural counties.
Yes.
Where they tend to be more open and more collegial and more productive for you to go to. So good luck with that.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Sure. Okay. And again, it's not fair bringing Bennett to the call because then I have to call and you can put your spotlight on. So, okay. Let's see. Robert says he had 2 appointments last week. Thanks for all the help, Robert. Congratulations. Good job. Robert says, do I use affidavit of heirship only without a will? That's the legal question, Robert. I don't know what state you're in also. Good question for a probate attorney. You might go to my probate weekly group and ask the question for an attorney. Start off with a state question for an attorney in blank state, and then ask the question. Your article email on are you going to rent your home is very well done. Thank you. I'm not sure who you are referring to, Ron Smith. Your article email on are you going to rent your home? That's not me, I don't think. So Robert's in South Carolina. So Robert, in South Carolina, I would talk to an attorney there. Good excuse to talk to an attorney and ask some questions as well. Maybe take them out for coffee or lunch or something. Okay, who else has, I know we had another person who had a question or raised their hand and I kind of jumped them off real fast. Who else has a question or challenge or problem or Vic, do you want to share? Anybody?
Hey, what's up, Bill?
What's up, Cam?
How you doing? How's your day going today?
Dude, I'm doing so good, it's not even fair.
Hey, we woke up this morning. No reason to complain, right?
Not at all. No, I mean, really, awesome. Not at all. Yeah, awesome. My grandson's here in the other room. So as soon as I'm done with you guys, I get to go pull my grandson. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. What's up?
So, this week I was like, let me put myself out there. I want people to know I'm getting into this whole probate thing. Mm-hmm. So I challenged myself 7 days to do just like little short form videos on Facebook, just like so the first one, what is probate? Just tell everybody I'm doing probate, what it is. The next day was just simple terms like what is a personal representative, what is a decedent, and what is an heir, and those functions and stuff like that. So I'm at the third day was the right to sell, and I can't remember what the fourth day was, but yeah, just that was kind of what I've been doing. Just let everybody know, trying to create myself more of an authority figure. So people like, oh, well, I know Cameron does probates. So I've been doing that. It's actually pretty decent. I've had a couple agents come up to me like, oh, I had something in probate. I didn't understand it. So yeah, that's what I'm doing to just kind of put myself out there. And next I was... I was watching an interview a while ago. I know you probably don't remember this. It was like, because I've been going through all the videos. You were like, there was a point where you were going to the courthouse like every day, basically. And I'm at the stage where I'm going like once every 2 weeks. And I didn't know if it was like, I don't know if this is too simple of a question, but like if it's like me going there is better as opposed to just pulling the information on the website. Like, I don't know.
Well, and remind me, where do you do business?
I'm in Massachusetts.
So there's really two questions. One is where you get better data, online or in person. I don't know your county to answer that question specifically. Try both and you'll figure out the answer yourself, right? That's the opportunity you have is if you go online and then you go in person, you can compare the two and now you know the advantage. The advantage of going in person is meeting the people. The reason for going is really the opportunity to meet attorneys, families, other investors, other agents, and to see what's happening that you can't see when you're on video. So I used to go to court every day. Now in my case, I had the chance to go to court every day. And I could choose which courtroom I went to out of 9. I was in Los Angeles, it was a big court. And I could pick, almost every day to see at least one court confirmation sale, which was great because it was property being sold. And I could learn the process and watch the judges and listen to the conversations in a way that you just can't do that on the phone or on video. So I would say go and scout out and figure out what you can learn while you're there. And every court's different. So I don't want to tell you the answer. You're going to find the answer if you go. Just go and pay attention. Just imagine you're there to do recon work. You want to find out ahead of time what's available and what are opportunities and where do people hang out. And so for example, one little thing was a lot of the attorneys who are regulars would go to not the coffee shop on the second floor where you have to stand, but go to the 10th floor, buy coffee. But you also could sit down. There's tables with a magnificent view in LA County. And so I found out if I'm going to spend an hour, let's say I would go to court and I would leave to go back to my office. But if I spend an hour having a cup of coffee, doing the work I would do anyhow on my laptop, I would see a couple attorneys I'm trying to meet in the coffee shop. Well, which is better, be at my office doing the work or there bumping into them, right? Okay. So again, that's my court. I don't know your court, but that's my challenge to you, is learn yours so you know the answer. Is there an opportunity? Maybe you don't have a coffee shop like that. Okay, then don't go. Maybe you do. Maybe, for example, there's a place that people can make copies. I had a case one time where an attorney really needed some documents, and he didn't know that the coffee shop on the fourth floor, you can email them and they'll print out and charge you per page, whatever it is, for copies. Well, I was his hero, right? And I spent $10 on copies, but I became a hero forever for this attorney. So that's again, yeah. So it just depends on what you're trying to do. And I would say you should just go and pay attention, take notes, and figure out the plan for you.
Okay. And I know that's a super simple question. But that's exactly what I needed to hear. It's like, you know, I'm there to build relationships. So, you know, kind of find where they are.
Yeah.
Just go from there and learn. Like, what I'm getting from that is learn your courthouse. Like,
yeah.
When I go in there, I should be able to say, like, all right, well, these are the courthouses for probate.
Yeah. Where do you park? Right. So, my question is, you have to know the answer. So, if you have a client who's going to go to court, tell them where they're going to park. Right. And it changed in LA. It used to be, I did a video on the parking lot I used to hang out at. And when I had clients go, I would tell the guy at the parking lot, I'll pay when I show up and I'll give you a $5 tip. Because I want my client to have the experience of, Bill Gross said to park here. Oh, yeah, he'll take care of your parking for you.
Mm.
I wanted to be that guy, right? Well, that lot now is closed to other than court employees, and you have to go to a lot that's all mechanized. So you have to know that and point your customers in the right direction. And then what's the easiest way to get in that parking lot versus the other parking lot? So again, those are things that are the little different. It's the little things that make the difference, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Okay, Emily had her hand up and I guess is next. What is up, Emily?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, and just small factoid that my daughter was born, my wife's first choice for her name was Emily. We didn't agree on that when her name was Eliana, but close to Emily, so just FYI.
Okay, so this looks terrible. I see the top of my head. So I have not made any calls yet because probably most of them are going to be DNC. My plan is to knock on doors, but I've been doing all the foundation. So I have two videos made already that I'm going to embed on a website. And I have the copy for the site, which I had to be very specific because I'm in a very litigious state. And so what I did was I made FAQs that were easily answered by excerpts from the state statutes. So all I have to do is quote the state statutes, and then I cannot get into trouble for giving legal advice because all I'm doing is quoting the statute. And I have one more webinar to record, and then I have somebody that's going to help me build a site. And now, and in March, first week of March, I am holding a seminar at a senior center about probate and having a lawyer come along as part of the seminar. So I think I've got a pretty decent start, even though I haven't made calls yet, but I'm trying to get the background done first because I know what I tend to do is charge ahead and then go, oh, oops, I didn't have this ready and I didn't have that ready on the back end. So I'm trying to do the opposite and have it ready on the back end first. And then I have a question too. You talk a lot about hanging out in courthouses, but I found out, now I deal with three counties. They're all relatively rural. One is almost 100% informal probate, and it sounds like people just go online or call, and then they're pointed to a website where they can get the forms that they have to fill out. Mm-hmm. So if there's a county, now there's one county where it's about a third of them actually do formal probate. So if it's a county like that, is that still worth like going to the courthouse?
And remind me, what courthouse is this again in?
Well, I'm in Wisconsin, so it's Calumet, Manitowoc, and Sheboygan counties.
You know, the question is it worth going to your courthouse? Have you been there once?
I went to each courthouse to talk to the probate registrar and just get information from them. You know, one of them was very helpful. They had handouts and stuff that I can use and a timeline and all that stuff. So I'm just going to, you know, upload that on the website and say this is per the registrar, because the timeline is going to be the same no matter where in the state.
How about that? You know, I would say go until it stops being productive. You know, when I took probate mastery the first time, 5 years ago, the teacher challenged us to go to court once. He said, just go one time. And I realized there was so much information that was valuable that I went back the next day and then went back the next day. At this point, I was getting ready to relaunch my business in probate. So I really didn't have anything I was doing. My business plan wasn't in place. I didn't have my activities lined out. And so rather than go to staff meetings or, you know, whatever trainings and such, I went to court and I learned kind of the what was there, and I learned the schedule of the day and what was productive. And I actually went there for a week before I sat down and wrote out a plan. And it was so productive, my plan included going to court every day. So the answer I would say is go with the idea of seeing how valuable it is and what your activities are. But I would much rather go to court for 3 or 4 hours than to cold call 3 or 4 hours or to door knock for 3 or 4 hours or going to a real estate investing networking event for 3 or 4 hours or going to a networking event. I'd much rather go to court. It's just, it's interesting. It's different. It's unique. And, you know, to be honest, I think other agents have a tough time prying me off a deal once I get my hands on it in a way that's not true any other marketing that I do. So I don't know if it's valuable for you. I would say if you don't know the answer, go at least once to each and determine that's not productive before you give up on it. I would think for everybody on this call, going to your court until you know it's a waste of time is probably the most productive thing you can do. And by the way, my guess is if you think it's a waste of time, it's probably because you don't know what you're supposed to do there, right? If you can meet the registrar, see what information is available. Is there a bulletin board? I found the bulletin board in LA County had classes that were across the street at the LA Law library, and there I met an attorney. And so there's a lot of things going on that if you pay attention and look for opportunities, you'll have a chance to. So my best answer to you, Emily, is I would say go to each and learn until you figure out that's not worthwhile. Okay. I see a question from Twana. How do I find the PR or executor of an estate in Oklahoma probate? Twana, do you subscribe to any of the data sources for like probate data or all the leads or anything like that?
Yeah, all the leads. But this was one that I had before I subscribed.
Mm-hmm.
So I skipped Trace and all that. Got the daughter's information, but she was so freaked out that, you know, I got her number. How'd I get her number? And she just said the PR's in Arizona, but that's all she knows. So I didn't know. Yeah.
So every county is different. I suspect Oklahoma is less technology forward than California probate. I suspect that whatever county you're in is going to be less technology forward than Los Angeles, which happens to have a very robust website. But it's worth checking your county. What resources, if any, do they have for you to check such things? So they have the list of cases online. Do they have the probate notes online? Do they have the upcoming hearing schedule online? And once you know one piece of information, you can find out the rest.
Okay.
But I would certainly exhaust the online resources and then go to court and ask the same question. If you have the case and want to find out who the petitioner is, oftentimes though you can either go online, they have a computer terminal there, or they'll have a file that you can open that has information in it that's public.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. I think I'm up to date with all the questions. You must have a question or problem or a victory you want to share or a problem that you need help with.
Not to steal the show again. It's right. Cameron. So, you know, I'm doing the 7-day series. So far, I've done those things I was telling you about. I didn't know if you had any ideas on, like, maybe just like a term or something. Like, hey, Cam, I think you should shine some light on this. Like, I've already done the right to sell, some of the terms, what probate is. Today's my 5th day. So,
like, nice.
Let me
shoot the show. I have a whole YouTube channel of topics that would think would be interesting. You're welcome to copy my topic. And I think redoing it in your own voice and your own with your own style would be productive. I think, you know, I'm not doing my videos for the whole world. I'm looking for those people who know, like, and trust me or inclined to like me. And we're all different. I'm older. Some people like that. Some people don't. You know, and I'm in California. Gosh, I know you're talking about. Are you Massachusetts? Mm-hmm. Different ball game. So you're welcome to look at my YouTube channel and pick and choose some ideas there. That's what I did. Was I actually had my virtual assistant scout other people's YouTube channels and make a list of the videos they did to find the topics that I wanted. The other thing I did was I went to ChatGPT and asked the question, what are questions about probate that California petitioners are asking? And there was a list, and I would just do a video on those topics.
That's great. I'm over here using old-fashioned technology, huh?
That's yeah, so awesome. Well, I think, you know, we can use technology to help you. I think I don't use ChatGPT to write the content. I use ChatGPT to outline the content or suggest topics to write on, and then I take it from there.
Yeah, just to get the idea. I get it.
Mm-hmm. I do. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you. I just, sure. Yep.
Glad to help, man. Anytime. Okay, Connie says, your first time here, it's great. Well, thanks, Connie. You left out that I'm good-looking and handsome and charming, but thank you. Glad to have you here. I'll overlook your forgetting to do that. Okay, so problems, questions, challenges? So a couple of things I'll give you on mindset until somebody raises their hand. You have dropped it, handsome. Thank you. I am. Thank you, Connie. Appreciate that. I'm also shy and I am, but thank you. It's very nice of you. Very humble. You know, a couple of mindset things I think to keep in mind as we go forward here. One is, regardless of what happens in the real estate industry, and I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing but good, nothing but bad news, right? Rates went up a little bit, commission lawsuit thing. Sales are less than they were 5 years ago, 8 years ago. Economy is kind of up in the air. That there'll be 4 million homes sold this year. I only need 25 or 30 to have a great year. I'm on track for that. It's only like 2 a month, a little more. So I think the goal is you need to worry about you, not about the rest. And I remember the story. I love the story of the two men walking in a jungle who come across a man-eating tiger. Another two, one stops and starts taking off his hiking boots and starts putting on running shoes. And his friend says, are you stupid? You can't run a man-eating tiger. And the guy says, no, you're stupid. I don't have to outrun the tiger. I just have to outrun you. And I think in probate, the other day I had a conversation with my wife and she said, oh, it must be great that you have a niche while the market's competitive, that you're able to be in an area where there's no competition. And that's not true. Because the market overall is challenging, there's more people than ever both looking to get into probate or people who know a little bit, who maybe instead of passing on the deal or bringing in an expert, want to hold on to the listing because they're desperate to get paid. And they may not know what they're doing to the customer's detriment. That's our opportunity. And I think the antidote to that is to be so knowledgeable and so valuable that people choose to do business with you. I'm an attorney who, I want my attorneys to think, ugh, I could imagine doing a probate without you because you handle everything. And I have one where the attorney's, you know, following up on the customer to sign up with me because the customer didn't like my proposal because I offered a 5% commission. Now in LA, 5% is kind of the most common number. Some people charge six. One of my partners is mad at me because I did a referral and I only do five and she does six. And I said, well, it's a competitive market and, you know, I feel good about what I charge and I make good money. But he wanted me a discount for a probate. And I just said to him, no, A, you've been hard to get a hold of. I can't discount if you're not working with me. And B, it's a probate. It's more work, not less. It's harder, not less hard. It takes longer, not shorter. And so for me, I can't discount something that's going to be more work that requires more of my expertise. But more importantly, you can pick another realtor if you want. They're just not going to be as good as me at helping you through this process. And, you know, I believe that. And so I don't really care. I'm busy enough where, you know, I have deals coming in. But I want people who want to work with me. I want to work with people who want to work with me. I don't want to work with people who don't want to work with me. That's like pushing a noodle, a wet noodle through a hole. And as a real estate agent, you ever had those customers, you know how hard that is. You really want to be the expert that people say. There's a line in the movie, My Cousin Vinny, where one of the guys stands up and says to his attorney, you're fired. I want you as my attorney. You want your customer to say, I want you as my realtor to know that you stand out. Okay, what's a question from Yvonne? What's your best recommendation for contact to get the listing? How many mailings? At what point do you stop mailing? How often would you call in combination with mailing? Yvonne, that's a great question. Let me see if I can bring you in. If you want to unmute yourself, I'd be glad to kind of ask you some questions and do a little coaching with you if you want.
Sure. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Yvonne, what's going on? Where, now, I don't know if we met before and I forget, but where are you from?
I am in Maryland and I'm working primarily Charles County and also Prince George's County, Maryland, probate.
Okay. And how long have you been in real estate?
I've been in real estate for about 7 years. I've been licensed for about 7-8 years. I've just started probate just because I kind of fell into it. Mm-hmm. By way of having to do probate for family members, both my parents. And then I've also gotten a couple of listings just from people that are in probate. So I want to kind of make that my niche because mm-hmm. I am dual career. So my focus is listings. Mm-hmm. With that, I have started a mail campaign. So I mail a letter every month. And frankly, I'm at mailing number 4. So I just started probate probably in about October, focusing really on probate in October. So I'm at mailing 4 and I feel like it's a little dry because you're getting the letter every month in a bright envelope that has almost the same message, but slightly different. So I'm saying, hey, you know, here are some other services. Let me know if you need these other services. But really, I want to focus on the listing. I guess from being in probate and going through probate myself personally, I know there are a lot of other services that people need. So I kind of have coined the phrase the probate concierge. So that's where those other services come into play. But I don't want my business to be focused on those other services. I really want it to be focused on when do you plan the sale? And I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but of course that's not the message, but that is the true focus. So in mailing these, I'm just wondering where's the real cutoff if you don't hear from anybody? I've called a few and the calls, you know, of course they're not so nice. Some people are grieving. I just know what I went through when I was going through the probate process. I'm grieving and I'm still trying to do this administrative stuff. So I really didn't want to receive calls from anybody. So I wasn't very receptive. So that's, I've kind of taken that approach to making the calls, but in the process, I'm realizing I do need to make calls in order to have a more effective campaign. And to really touch more than just that once a month so that when they get to the point where they're ready to sell, they'll think of me. I know that was a lot.
You're a full-time agent separate from the probate business?
Yes. Well, so, I'm a dual career agent, which means I have a full-time job in addition to real estate.
Okay. So how many houses did you sell last year?
Last year in 2023, I didn't do any business. Prior to that, I sold 10 properties.
So those, do those 10 past customers know you do probate?
Not all of them.
How many do? How many don't? And why not? Why wouldn't you start with them?
So at that point, probate was not my business focus.
That's not my question. Right now, you mail
okay.
out. You're marketing right now about probate, but you're not marketing to the people who already know, like you, and trust you so much.
Okay, that's true.
I can receive that. So this is the common problem, I think. So, and there's other people answers on mailings, and somebody said, well, it's 5 mailings. You know, I think that the people who are successful in marketing, it's a science. They know exactly what their response ratio is. It's measurable, and it's an investment with a return on the investment. And I do think there's that their company is too quick to tell you to mail. They don't mail to me, those same companies. And I know that the product, what they mail out, what they recommend to mail out often is not what gets my attention. Like, would I open, having been an executor of a probate recently, I was very interested to see all the mailings I got, to keep them all, to do a study on who mails how often and how much and how effective it is. And I don't know. I can't give you a scientific answer of what to do with strangers. Here's what I'll tell you. What you're missing, though, is you're missing the business of the people, not just your 10 past clients, but the other 100 to 200 to 300 people who know, like, and trust you, who have a family member that passed. They don't even know they're in probate. But because you're not talking about it, they don't know to ask you the question. And that's true for every agent on this call. The best probate business you're ever going to get is from people who already know, like, and trust you. And you have to start with that group. There's nothing you'll ever do as productive as that. And I get agents all the time who say, well, yeah, but I only want to. Okay, then you're not going to be as successful as you want to be. And I can tell you that the two best probate leads I ever got were people who I knew 20 years before I started doing probate business. Now, one of them I just knew because I bumped into her at court. And the other one I saw in court and mailed to and saw my emails and we talked. But I'm telling you that anybody in this business, and you're in real estate, you should start with marketing to everybody who already knows, likes, and trusts you, so that you're able to leverage your time in this business. And you're going to get more business there faster than you're ever going to get mailing out, like somebody said, 5 mailers. That's 5 months of mailing. And that's going to be a cost of a couple hundred, 200 pieces times $1 each. Is $200 times 5 is $1,000 to get one deal, if you get a deal after 5 months. So again, that's my piece. As far as what works, what doesn't, I would track it, be scientific about it. And you know, if you don't have any responses after 4 months, I don't know why 5 magically. I don't think sellers count how many mailers they get. I do think it's a cumulative benefit. But if they're not opening the envelope, they're not going to see maybe even your face, whatever you're doing inside. So again, I would really urge you guys all, this is me and my soapbox, definitely start with emailing and social media posts and videos. And if you're going to mail postcards, start with people who already know, like, and trust you. Let's see. So somebody says it's 5 mailings when you start getting action. Okay, I appreciate that comment, but doesn't sound scientific to me. When you do mailings, don't you need to mail to the community so you don't run into ethics violations by cherry picking? I don't know why that'd be. I think you can mail to whoever you want. You can mail to petitioners or attorneys. I think our question is, what's effective? I don't think there's anything wrong with targeting mailers. The 5 is based on data from a company that specializes in mailing for probate. I've heard them say that. I don't believe that's data. I think that's them saying that. I just really don't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I guess I do. I'd like to save agents money that won't be productive. When I hear somebody say things like, return on investment is from 1% to 5%. Well, it's not 1.5%. It's a number. It's 1.8 or it's 2.6 or it's 4.5. The average is never a range. The average is a number. And so I don't believe, I think I know what company you're referring to, Natasha. I don't believe that's that what they're telling you is based on data. I believe that's their salesman selling you to do the activity. And personally, I take exception to that. I do mailers. I mail out to postcards monthly to 250 attorneys that I've met that also have their emails. I also post social media, they see stuff, but I've met them or talked to them on the phone about a case. I don't know anything to anybody that I don't know personally ahead of time. My book says I'm allowed to target mailing. I thought if I got information on public records, I was not targeting, but I am. Okay, well, your broker has the privilege to request whatever he or she wants. That's their prerogative as your broker of record. But I can tell you that there's no law I'm aware of or ethical issue on mailing to people who file petitions. Now, there is something about using public record data for marketing purposes. So maybe that's what he's referring to. I don't believe that applies in this case, because if that was the case, then companies couldn't tell you to mail to probate petitioners. But and I know attorneys who sell that data, so I don't think that's the case. But maybe that's what he's referring to. Or maybe you're in a different state. Okay, last minute or two. Any last minute questions, challenges, problems? Hope this wasn't a downer at the end, but I just really want to see you guys market the people you know already. Create, like Cam was talking about doing video. Do some video, email it out to your database so people already know, like, and trust you. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your LinkedIn. Create a YouTube page. Share with everybody. Share your information with people who know, like, and trust. Be of value to them, because they no doubt have people around them who need help in probate, and you should be the person they should be contacting with questions. Yvonne asked, can I provide the company I use for postcodes? I use thanks.io. Thanks.io. They have a feature where you can email to an address, like a standard postcard, and just type in some verbiage and it goes out. I use it for that. And then I just upload I have a database I've uploaded, and I re-upload every month because I make changes. And I've had postcards I created that are personal and related to probate. That I send out to them. So thanks.io is the, I'll put it in the chat box, is the vendor I use. And I don't have any kind of affiliate with them. I'm just a customer and pay with them, and they do a good job. If you're the EXP, they're the company kind of behind the KV Core mailing program. That's how I met them, but they do a good job on this post. They're all about the same. I think it costs about $1 per postcard between the mailing and the material. It's about 250. It's about $250 to mail out.
And that's specifically for probates?
No, they use it. They have all kinds of stuff. They have all kinds of consumer, real estate, investor. They have a million different. They have campaigns already made up you can buy and use, and every kind of business. You can buy data from them. They're a full service mailing house / data company. I just use them only for two things. I have my attorney list of the attorneys that I know. I call them my attorney COI, which includes attorneys who are not probate. I had that list in there, and I send a postcard a month to that group. And then I send, when I meet people, I'll send a postcard that says, hey, Cam, thanks. Great talking to you today. Please let me know if I can help you. And it's already kind of, I send an email to them, and they mail the postcard out, and it, you know, whatever, it's preset the picture on the front, and I type on the bottom what I want. Connie, it's thanks, as in thank you, thanks.io. Again, I'm not an affiliate or anything with them. They do have an affiliate program. I'm not involved with that. Okay, let's wrap up here, because I gotta run myself. And I think Bruce has, if I remember correctly, I didn't see Lou on the call today. I believe in 4 minutes is the listing workshop that Bruce is hosting. And so I'm anxious to do that myself. So I need to hop off here real quick. So let's just wrap up. And I'll point out to you that this is the official coaching call for Probate Mastery. We do this real estate coaching call every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can click here for some free courses. You can click here to get certified in probate, or click here to get some additional course bundles, including Earn How to Work with Attorneys. And then there's a Facebook community. If you click on that, and there's Bruce's handsome face with promotions of his programs, including the listing program. There you go. Yep, I was right. So go to the estate planning, estate professionals mastermind group. I'll put that in the chat box. And you can go right into that. If you haven't registered, I'm not sure quite what to do for you, but I've registered. I think I'm excited to hear that. And then personally, I do probateweekly.com every Thursday at 4 p.m. It's an interview call. Feel free to sign up with your email address here. You can see it on audio format or past episodes on YouTube right there. Probateweekly.com is my program. And then on Facebook, continue the conversation at Probate Weekly, where we I post my content. Feel free to post your probate-related content. Love to help you build your business there and work together with everybody. Okay, thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you next week. If not, seeing you on Bruce's call here shortly. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.